Welcome to the Ortho Activist Podcast. I'm your host, Bradley Coffey, and I'm the Manager of Government Affairs at the American Alliance of Orthopedic Executives. The episodes in this series will focus on the personalities in Congress, policy debates in the legislative and executive branches, and how they affect orthopedic practice management. The information contained in these podcasts comes from my interactions on Capitol Hill, as well as the newspapers, blogs, and websites covering healthcare policy. A quick note, if you have ideas for topics that you'd like covered on this podcast, please email me at advocacy@aaoe.net to provide suggestions.
To build a future of quality health care, we must trust patients and doctors to make medical decisions and empower them with better information and better options. We share a common goal, making health care more affordable and accessible for all Americans.
Now is the season for action. Now is when we must bring the best ideas of both parties together and show the American people that we can still do what we were sent here to do. Now is the time to deliver on healthcare.
On this episode, I want to dive into the president's budget proposal that was released this week and discuss the healthcare provisions likely to affect you. The president's budget is unlikely to be enacted, as Congress has already passed a two-year budget outline, but fair warning, some of the savings estimated by the budget could find their way into other legislation. That being said, the numbers contained in the president's budget are the product of a partisan arm of the White House, known as the Office of Management and Budget. Any potential savings would need to be scored by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office to be sure that savings are available before being included to offset other spending. These cost savings include increasing site-neutral payments to pay off-campus hospital outpatient departments at a rate equal to that of the physician fee schedule. This has been estimated to have savings of $34 billion over 10 years. I just want to discuss real quickly what this would mean. This would mean that providers providing Part B services in an off-campus hospital outpatient department, but receiving Part A reimbursement, would be paid at the Part B reimbursement amount. This is similar to some legislation that cut payments to hospital outpatient departments that were off-campus and built after November 2, 2015. This would expand that provision. Another policy is to reduce Medicare coverage of bad debts. Currently, Medicare covers some debts of beneficiaries that practices and hospitals are unable to collect from the beneficiary. This would reduce the amount of money that Medicare has at its disposal to cover beneficiary debt. It's been estimated that this would save $37 billion over 10 years, and it's important to note that this has been proposed as an offset past Congresses. So what does this mean? It would mean that the federal government would no longer cover certain bad debts of a Medicare patient. Practices and hospitals would either need to pursue the debt themselves, sell the debt to a collections agency, or forgive said debt. Another provision included in the budget is to modify payments for hospitals for uncompensated care. This would modify the Medicaid Disproportionate Share Hospital Fund. This is estimated to save about $70 billion over 10 years. And this would mean that, you know, currently hospitals are getting so much money for the federal government if they treat a disproportionate share of Medicaid patients and the uninsured. The Affordable Care Act cut these payments under the assumptions that with more people having insurance, these payments would no longer be necessary, but this proposal would speed up those cuts. Another provision would be to expand the basis for beneficiary assignment for accountable care organizations, also known as ACOs. This is estimated to save about $140 million over 10 years. So what would this mean? While we don't know which specific policy has been identified based on the budget released, Medicare currently assigns beneficiaries to ACOs based on certain criteria. This line item assumes that by expanding that criteria and getting more beneficiaries into ACOs, there is a cost savings to Medicare. A small cost savings, but a cost savings nonetheless. Another provision would require prior authorization when physicians order certain services excessively relative to their peers. The budget didn't include any savings in this, but it doesn't mean that there aren't some to be found. So what would this mean? Again, the budget document is light on specifics, but this would likely entail analyzing physician orders and requiring prior authorization on orders for certain services if the physician ordering the service is ordering an excessive amount of the service. Another provision would reform and expand durable medical equipment competitive bidding. This would be estimated to save about $6 billion over 10 years. Again, it's not clear what is being proposed here, but currently for original Medicare Parts A and B to approve coverage of DME, the supplier must bid for Medicare to cover the cost of a particular piece of equipment. Medicare then sets the amount it will pay for them. Reforming physician self-referral laws to better support and align with alternative payment models and to address overutilization. This is a provision that causes me some concern. The first part of the provision might make it easier to participate in the new value-based payment regimes created by Medicare. However, it's that second part about addressing overutilization that concerns me, as it may mean that the administration has the in-office ancillary services exception in its sights. But again, it's not clear what is being proposed. We will definitely keep an eye on this, and we will alert members to any attempts to change the in-office ancillary services exception. This also has a savings estimate of $0 in the president's budget. Another provision that might be of interest is to simplify and eliminate reporting burdens for clinicians participating in the merit-based incentive payment system. This also does not have a savings associated with it in the president's budget. And it could mean anything from getting rid of the reporting structure under MIPS to getting rid of the MIPS program itself. Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar is said to be studying the possibility of getting rid of the reporting requirements of MIPS and judging physicians based on their claims data and patient survey scores, but it is unclear how much of this could be implemented by CMS and how much would need to be done by Congress. On this particular issue, I would caution you to be careful what you wish for, as the reporting regime that we have in store now may be more palatable to you as practice executives than the regime that has been proposed by other groups, such as the Medicare Payment Advisory Commission. Another provision would be to expand prior authorization to additional Medicare fee-for-service items at high risk of fraud, waste, and abuse. So this would mean that the administration could try to impose prior authorization requirements in the Medicare program for items and services that could be abused. If this were to make it to Congress, I would expect certain groups to try to put physical therapy and imaging on the list. Again, this is one of those items that we will watch closely, and should there be any action on this, we will let members know. Reforming medical liability is another issue that was included in the president's budget and would have a savings of $52 billion over 10 years. In essence, this is tort reform, reforming the ways in which physicians can be sued for alleged malpractice. In total, the Department of Health and Human Services would see cuts totaling $295 billion over 10 years under the president's budget. As I mentioned before, AAOE and the Advocacy Council will continue to watch for legislation affecting any of the above policies. In the broader picture, the $4 trillion budget that President Trump proposed would cut domestic programs by about $3.6 trillion over 10 years and result in a deficit of $445 billion by 2028. Some other news that it hasn't been getting as much attention as the president's budget in the past week. The CMS's Office of the Actuary is predicting faster healthcare growth in 2018 and beyond. Spending in 2016 grew 4.3% and is expected to increase to 5.3% in 2018 and by 5.7% by 2021. By 2026, it is estimated that the United States will spend $5.7 trillion, or $1 out of every $5 spent on healthcare. That is nearly double what the United States spent on healthcare in 2016, which was $3.3 trillion. This increase in spending is expected to be fueled in large part by fundamental economic and demographic factors, including changes in projected income growth, increases in prices for medical goods and services, and enrollment shifts from private health insurance to Medicare that are related to the aging of the population. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Hope to see you back here next week. And again, if you have any ideas for podcasts in the future, please don't hesitate to email me at advocacy@aaoe.net.